Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. Today we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. This is the second lesson for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember that Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Life can be tragic sometimes. A woman can be dying of AIDS and have done nothing wrong, i.e. not lived a sexually immoral life. She could in fact be a devoted wife. She could be in a developing country, or she could be the victim of an unfaithful husband. Sadly, no matter how it came about, it doesn't look good for her. People sometimes get the wrong idea about AIDS as well, and her reputation could be tainted because of this disease. Even her own friends could be standoffish because of this ailment. She could feel a deep loneliness. Actually, one day, just such a woman entered a pastor's office and admitted as much. With little hope of finding comfort, she began by saying, "I'm lost. My life is wrecked." The pastor had spotted a picture of his daughter on his desk and had an idea. He asked the woman, knowing she also had a daughter, "Would you think any less of your daughter if you knew she was in trouble? Trouble so bad that no one would talk to her or want to be with her. Would you still love her?" The woman was fierce as she shot back, "What kind of a question is that? Of course I'd love her. If everyone else left her, that's when she would need me the most. Yes." "Of course you would," replied the pastor. "Just so. I want you to know that God knows when you need him the most." The pastor then went on to rightly explain to her that when no one else cares, when spouse or family or friends scorn us, God especially cares. When you are unimportant to the rest of the world, you are all important to your Father in heaven. He loves you. He sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to die for you. And when we are faithless, or when those who should remain faithful to us turn out to be faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Jesus, and only Jesus, is full-time faithful. What we are to see from our text and in God's word time and time again is that God is faithful. We can probably count up the years of faithfulness in our own lives, but there will come a time when we let someone down, even one close to us, because we lack perfect faithfulness. And it doesn't help to be in a world full of unfaithful people either. It doesn't help when even professional psychologists give a professional opinion that there is no hope for a particular individual to be faithful, as if we could lower the bar. But at the same time, we are to see that there is this inherent stubbornness, this flesh, this will to be less than completely faithful in each and every one of us. You see, the point isn't to simply say, be as faithful as you can. We can all at least do that much. It is that none of us can be as faithful as God is, and not when it counts. Whether it's clinically apparent or not, we are mostly self-serving creatures. We are only pretty good people. We try, but we don't always succeed. And that's because, again, we are limited beings. And there's the rub. A person who isn't totally good, in the eyes of God, is not good at all. This person is a sinner. That describes you and me. That's the truth. None of us sinners are as caring, concerned, considerate, compassionate, or as faithful as we would like to think we are. This is humanity at its best. That would be true if not for one single, special, solitary exception to the rule in all of history. That exception is, of course, Jesus Christ. And by entering into humanity, he changes the eternal result of our destiny. For he became, and so is, the world's Savior. Eternally begotten of the Father, God's Son became tangibly good news for you and me. Our text for today reads, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." Read through Scripture and you'll see just how exceptional Jesus is. The opening chapters of Genesis set the stage. God had created everything and declared it very good. Very good is the way God set things up. In other words, it was perfect. But it's not the way Adam and Eve left them. In a self-centered act of defiance, they turned away from God's will and wishes and accepted Satan's sinful suggestions. Their act of disobedience brought death and darkness into this world, even as it made certain we could never again, by our own power, be reconciled with God. And our sins guaranteed we would never be more than pretty good people who are still destined for hell. That's the way it was. And that's the way it would have remained if God hadn't intervened and promised to send his Son to be the sinner's substitute and so Savior. Much of the rest of the Old Testament tells of how God, in spite of what his people did, remained faithful to his promise. Remember how when his people refused to enter the land he'd promised, God remained faithful and waited for the Holy Spirit to raise up a generation who would obey. And when his people preferred to follow other gods, he faithfully brought them back. When they forgot the promise they'd been given of a Messiah, God remained faithful and sent prophets to remind them of their uniqueness as chosen people and the line of David, the root of Jesse, through whom the Messiah would come. No matter what his people did, God stayed faithful and committed all the way up until he sent the Savior who would bring forgiveness, reconciliation, and redemption. And he remains faithful still. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with how faithful God is to us. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann. This is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you'd like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, visit our website, lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all our activities, which you can join to learn more about our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the seminary of the ELCE. If you'd like to support us, you can use our secured link, lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Find comfort and joy in Songs of Hope.
Read and explore the scriptures with me every Thursday here on Lutheran Radio UK.
Songs of Hope, weekly reflections on the Psalms with Denise Seaman. Go to LutheranRadio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about how God is full-time faithful, whereas there are many instances which we can think of in our lives where we are not entirely faithful to our neighbor, let alone God. It's important to realize our unfaithfulness, not so that we can necessarily fix ourselves, but to realize how loving God is to remain faithful despite ourselves, so that we can repent and receive Christ's faithful salvation. In terms of actually being fixed ourselves, this is but the sure hope we have in the resurrection of the dead. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. God puts it in this way, that Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:15. Not some righteousness, all righteousness. That means that everything before and after that which would claim any form of righteousness must point to or back to Jesus. For he fulfills all. Clearly God has fulfilled his promise to send a Messiah, our Savior. Thousands of years had passed since the promise had first been made. So really thousands of years should have been spent preparing for the Savior's birth, especially since the prophecy that he would be born in the city of David. But that's a good witness of how far our own flesh pulls us away from faithfulness. Think for a moment about how Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. He must have had friends, neighbors, and of course Mary and Joseph and other acquaintances whom Jesus was always thinking about, the potential recipients of his forgiveness for their sin, after revealing to them that he was indeed the Messiah. But you remember how they thought of him. He was not welcome in his hometown. In fact, everywhere he went, there was even a personal cost for Jesus' full-time faithfulness to God. The point is to really think of it personally. You have a home, so did Jesus, and he gave it up for you. Was there anyone who didn't alienate him? After speaking about bringing division among even family members, and his own brothers and sisters and mother being no one but those who believe and follow him, it's no wonder he should feel a little lonely. Jesus basically gave up any dream of having a lot of wealth or prosperity for himself here on earth. He didn't have a bank account, he didn't have a nest egg. During his temptations, he turned down the offer to have all the riches of the world. But of course we know why. And actually, at the end of the day, Jesus was far from poor. He was rich in spirit. Indeed, the very Holy Spirit proceeds from him. This is why it didn't necessarily matter where his friends came from. By the grace of the Spirit, he could turn the worst of sinners into the best of friends. There was the tax collector, whose respectability anyone would question. There was the woman at the well in Samaria. Her reputation wasn't even questioned. They knew how sinful she was. The truth is, wherever Jesus went, he was able to befriend the most sorrowful of people. And he still does. The sick, the grieving, the friendless, the lost, the leprous. Jesus listened to them all, and he gave himself to them all. And often, as our gospel shows, sometimes even without thanks. So to love was Jesus. But he was still isolated despite this. Whether they were jealous, scared, didn't understand, whatever the reason, the Jewish teachers of the law did not accept him. Can you imagine what you would do if your church turned you away? At one point, Jesus was no longer even welcome at synagogues. He had to go to a public place to preach, like the temple in Jerusalem, where he could at least get an earshot in. Sure, once upon a time, crowds followed him. They wanted to see more miracles. But when it came to the crunch and what he started to say didn't make sense to their human reasoning, that was the end of the line. And imagine if you were brought up on charges by the people and you're put into a courtroom. You've done something that the people in Fairwater just detest. Maybe you build a bell tower or something and the town wants to take you to court. But then the court says that you're fully within your rights to build a bell tower, but you still don't get to do it because the people overrule you by sheer willpower and dominance, which scares the judge. Well, that's a poor example, but Jesus can't do anything right at the point where he can only proclaim the word of God from the temple in Jerusalem. And before he knows it, the crowd are calling out for bloody murder. People are plotting behind his back. He's taken to court. He's declared innocent, but they declare him guilty. But in spite of all this, Jesus remains faithful to the plan to save these people, those who revile and hate him, Jesus would still redeem them. He would still do everything that is needful so that the outcome would be that they and we could have our sins forgiven. In fact, by this point, it is clear that he could do nothing else to save them. Even when struck in the face, spat at, whipped, flogged, beaten, had a crown of thorns placed into his cranium, and nailed to a cross, even then Jesus would forgive us who put him there by our sin. Who remains faithful? Jesus does. No matter what happened to him, he remained and remains full-time faithful, fulfilling his Father's promise to save sinners. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And it is a faithfulness that continues today. Today, having fulfilled the law, having resisted all temptations and defeated death itself, the living Lord is still fully committed to calling and keeping his people in the faith. He is there in the adoption service we call baptism. He is present to bless the vows of bride and groom. He sits beside every family that mourns and proves faithful as we hear his word and receive his body and blood. He is here even now for you and for me. Faithfully, he hears your prayers, understands the great concerns of our hearts, and wishes to calm our fears. He is here even now, even as he will be here tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. He will be here loving you, forgiving you, saving you. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Full-time faithful. That's what our Savior is. And for that, he deserves the ongoing thanks and continuing praise from all of his pretty good, but mostly bad, but absolutely saved people. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.